This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about marriage and family counseling. We're going to be talking about something called somatic counseling. We're going to be talking about something called the Hakomi method. We're talking with Karen Finch. Karen's a friend of mine, and Karen's a marriage and family therapist in private practice in Berkeley, California.
It's really natural, of course, to be drawn towards yummy, pleasurable feelings and to want to sink into them fully and really, really just revel in it. But we humans, we have this actually very complex system developed so that we don't have to become automatically in fear and in contraction, because the more we contract, the less we have options for dealing with stuff. Hakomi is a method developed to access the body, and it has specific techniques, like the therapist invites the client into mindfulness and does a slightly, hypnotic kind of thing, and has the client check in with themselves and perhaps makes a statement and has the client study their reaction to the statement. I do believe that the more I embody the things that I believe about healing and communication and connection and attachment, the better my world is, the more satisfaction and pleasure and joy and healing that I experience. Yeah, my goal is every moment to be having a mindful dialogue with myself and to do things and pursue things that give me joy and give me further grounding.
Today on the show, we're going to be talking about marriage and family counseling. We're going to be talking about something called somatic counseling. We're going to be talking about something called the Hakomi method. We're talking with Karen Finch. Karen's a friend of mine, and Karen's a marriage and family therapist in private practice in Berkeley, California. Karen holds a master's in somatic counseling psychology, and she's trained in the Hakomi method, which is a mindfulness and body-oriented psychotherapy, which I'm hoping we're going to talk a lot about. She works with individuals and couples to access communication and emotional resources to shift toward fully embracing their choices. Karen assists her clients with diverse challenges using knowledge from attachment psychology, neuroscience, spiritual traditions, and from the positive transitions and transformations experienced by those she's counseled. So welcome to the program, Karen Finch.
Thank you, Chip. I'm glad to be here.
So I want to start just with some of those words, because some of them I know and some of them I don't know. Can you tell me what is somatic counseling, somatic psychotherapy? I just don't know the term.
What it means is an attention to embodied process, or talking from a place that you don't ordinarily talk from when you're in a conversation with an individual or a therapist. So the therapist guiding you to settle into yourself in a new way, a therapist talking to you in a way that you can access your body's messages, wisdom, the unconscious, stuff you don't know, because we sometimes ignore our bodies and ignore our sensations, usually at our peril.
So is this sort of like I'm just paying attention to my gut feelings by sort of noticing what's going on in my stomach? Is it more complicated than that? I mean, what do you mean by really? I mean, what do you mean by that?
It can be as simple as paying attention to your gut feelings, but it can also be sort of a mindfulness process of studying your sensations and studying that tightness in your belly as you talk about something, or noticing how high your voice gets around or how fast you talk about some particular thing, and then noticing how that is for you. And so it's a kind of a process of checking in with yourself that's somewhat based in Buddhism and sort of meditation of like checking with yourself and feeling into yourself in a way that we don't usually have time or the training to do.
So I think I know the answer to this for myself, but I kind of want to hear you talk about it a little bit. I have this experience that sort of, in a way, I've taught my mind to ignore my body, that, you know, sitting at a desk all day is uncomfortable, sitting in freeway traffic is uncomfortable, you know, feeling concern about my job. These are all feelings that might, you know, that might have body sensations associated with them. And I've just sort of learned to turn it all off and be in my mind. And are you saying that's a bad thing?
I'm saying it's an adaptation that is helpful in some ways, but harmful in others. So there's ways that we can be with discomfort and pain and be in relationship with our bodies that can actually create more health for us if we're not cut off from these experiences, if we can be with our discomfort, pain, frustration, stress in a more creative, more resourced way. It can change our relationship, and we're not ignoring our bodies so much as including them more and letting our sensations become more our friends and messengers instead of something to be suppressed or ignored.
I noticed that for many of us, we do this actually unconsciously and deliberately when it's a good feeling. So when we're happy, we often experience it as a kind of deliciousness in our body. When we're having sex, I mean, so much of the sexual connection is just physically what's going on. And we don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I notice when it's like negative things, when it's things that when it's fear or pain or sadness or shame, all of a sudden I just really want to be separate from my body. And I just sort of wonder why it is that we have, you know, it's, I don't know. I just noticed that sometimes we seem really connected and sometimes we seem really disconnected.
Well, it's really natural, of course, to be drawn towards yummy, pleasurable feelings and to want to sink into them fully and really, really just revel in it. But it's very natural to, you know, I mean, amoebas do this, you know, is that they move away from pain. But we humans, we have this actually very complex system developed so that we don't have to become automatically in fear and in contraction, because the more we contract, the less we have options for dealing with stuff. So part of what I try to help people access is this kind of curiosity about themselves and friendliness about, ooh, that feels yucky, but how about we stay with it a little bit together? And also, if you do things in relationship, it can be a lot different than just feeling your pain all by yourself.
Now, what is this Hakomi method thing?
Hakomi is a method developed to access the body, and it has specific techniques, like mindfulness techniques, like the therapist invites the client into mindfulness and does a slightly, hypnotic kind of thing, and has the client check in with themselves and perhaps, makes a statement and has the client study their reaction to the statement. Like I might say to a client, "You deserve love, Chip," and ask you to feel into if that comes into your body in any way, if your mind automatically deflects that. And we sort of really slow down and help the client look at how they're in relationship with their beliefs. And actually, limiting beliefs can be discovered by studying the body. And when we're talking about something that where you feel stuck, we can help you get unstuck by discovering, this is where I'm stopping myself. This is where I'm not in choice.
I don't, maybe others don't have this, but it seems to me, both as a man and from the habit of trying not to feel what might seem unpleasant, I feel like I don't have a vocabulary for what you're describing. So I notice, you know, you're talking about feeling it, but I just wonder, like, do people have a vocabulary for this? Do they know how to even talk about it?
Well, part of the gift of the Hakomi method is that we offer menus and vocabulary. So I might say, so how is that tightness in your belly? Is it kind of a twisting tightness, or is it a stabbing tightness? So we start to have specific ways to talk about your sensations. And we also develop a vocabulary together, sort of collaboratively figuring out how do we be with what you're experiencing, and not run away from it, and not just analyze it, but really kind of feel into you and me feel into me so that I can help you to be in almost this sort of magical healing space with yourself. And that's sort of the goal.
And how do, okay, so I think a lot of these, a lot of the numbness, a lot of the ways that I dissociate from my body, a lot of the ways that I am not embodied, as you describe it, I think I learned them in childhood. You know, me personally, I grew up in, this is not a secret, I grew up in an alcoholic family, and I'm a middle child, and the combination of my alcoholic dad and being a middle child, it has some legacies. You know, there are things, I thought they were survival techniques, but there are things I learned mm-hmm. to get me through. Mm-hmm. My body now knows this, you know, like I know how to do this. This is how I live. Yep. How do I change that? How do I release that? How do I make that be different?
Well, the first step is starting to identify all the ways you are living in like a flashback and not living in the present. Like really trying to develop a dialogue with yourself when you feel something uncomfortable. You know, is this about right now? And do I need to attend to this right now? Is there some way that I need to deal with this? Or am I feeling the pain from the past or old neural pathways? And how you are with yourself about what you experience in yourself can profoundly change the meaning and your relationship to discomfort and stuckness.
Okay, you used a term there, neural pathway, and I know what that means to me, but I don't know what that means to you. So what's a neural pathway?
From developmental psychology, all the mapping that's been done about infant brains and the way they develop, we found out that the brain, the most adaptive baby brain, has tons of neural pathways, and there's a lot of ways to cope with things. And the way that baby develops all that adaptability is by hooking up with the mother's neural pathways. And if the mother has tons of options, the baby will likely have similar options. There's sort of this magical resonant field that's created between mother and baby. The neural pathways we sort of get in a groove with things. And if we, you know, if we always have this thinking that it's not okay what's happening and I'm not going to be okay, you know, that's one neural pathway. And you don't have the other sorts of perspectives to say, I actually am okay. Humans have tremendous resilience and tremendous resources that we sort of get socialized out of in our culture because we think we need to behave and adapt in certain ways, and we just get stuck in certain grooves.
Yeah, now I'm no scientist, but from what I've read about neural pathways, sometimes they call them habituated action grooves, and what I think of as it's sort of the habituated way that we learn to think about something. And rather than having to figure out what our toothbrush is every morning, at some point there's just an action groove there, sees toothbrush, knows that it's for the mouth, knows how to brush teeth, you know. Yeah, so and I get what you're, I think what I'm hearing you say is that a lot of our neural pathways are sort of imprinted from our connection with the loving, caregiving parent.
That's correct. That's where it all starts. And so we have a lot of habituated, what are the, I don't know that phrase, habituated action grooves that turn into limiting beliefs. And part of what we try to access in Hakomi is the limiting beliefs that you might have got non-verbally from your experience. And what you can remember, we work with what you can remember and sort of who you went to when you were upset and what their response was. And that helps us. But we also have to reach back even further to stuff that you may not remember that may be nonverbal. And we just have to sort of think together and collaborate together about how you can be conscious of this material and choose to not listen to that particular story or that particular belief that comes from that.
So to remember something that's preverbal is really, I think what I'm hearing you say, is really to learn how to feel the feeling residue that's left in your body and know how to interpret that.
That's exactly right.
This is fascinating stuff. We need to take a break. I want to give a chance to support our sponsors and let our sponsors support us. Please do listen to the sponsors, because there are some pretty good deals you can get just from listening to the show here. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm talking to Karen Finch. We're talking about somatics and the Hakomi method, and we've got lots more to say. Also, at the end of the show, Karen's got an exercise that she brought with her so that we can try at home. So please come on back after the break.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
Back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Karen Finch. She's got a master's in counseling psychology with a specialization in somatic psychology. And we've been talking about what somatic psychology is. I want to steer this a little bit and talk a little bit about how this works when you're working with couples. Because I noticed on your website, you talk about negotiating boundaries in your relationship and negotiating sexual boundaries. And I want to kind of move into the whole relationship area here. And so the first thing is just sort of the idea of sexual boundaries in relationship, I think, is really, really challenging. What do you mean by sexual boundaries? And then how do people talk about these things?
Well, we as primates work best in dyads. We regulate in dyads. We feel better in dyads. And so relationships are part of feeling healthy and feeling good and feeling fulfilled. The challenges come when people have different ways of feeling fulfilled in relationship. And most important thing, if you get down the road and you realize you really love someone, but you have some very different values, there needs to be an in-depth conversation together around what that all means.
So just a little parenthetical note, I've been reading a whole bunch of research, particularly by a guy named Dr. Art Aaron, who's going to be a guest on the show soon, about actually first that throughout history, like when he showed me a survey of like 190 cultures or something, and 160 of them or 170 of them, that two-ness, that coupling, that dyad that you talk about is just the common unit. This is what human beings want. So I just want to say to people who had that moment of, wait a minute, are we, what do you mean primates are dyads? There's just a lot of evidence to support it. And then the other thing I was reading was all this research about what's happening in our brain when we have that closeness, when we have that intimacy. And it's pretty clear we're wired to have that intimacy and closeness have us feel good about ourselves, so that it turns out it's not just, oh yeah, I observed that in society. There's a whole brain chemistry about this whole thing that really supports the thought that we're meant to be in twos. And that said, so there I am with my partner, and I let's start with the easy stuff. I want sex every day. My partner wants sex twice a week, or I want a kind of sex that, it's kind of out there and really kinky, but it's really exciting to me. And my partner is completely, that is just, she feels not respected, like, oh my, how could you even ask for that? How do you negotiate this stuff? How do you talk about this stuff? And how does somatics relate to any of this?
Really, there are no easy answers in those kinds of challenges, but having heartfelt conversations and somatically based conversations about those challenges can really open the door. So there are no easy answers to, you know, what you do when you have a huge difference in desire and wantings and needs. But a clear communication, an ability to not make the other person wrong about what they want, person, an ability to really hear in a full way what it is, what it means, the kind of the complexity of what the person's wanting, as opposed to just dismissing out of hand the other person's needs, can create openings to find ways to be with very kind of huge differences in a couple.
So we need to talk, and somewhere in all this, you need to help me sort of feel what I'm feeling in my body and help my partner feel what they're feeling in their body. And somewhere in this accessing of what we're actually feeling, what we begin to have more compassion for each other. Is that kind of what happens? Is it?
There is the more empathy that you develop for your partner around what they're longing and what they feel like they're not getting, the more closeness you guys will be able to have. And so part of it is just having a really healthy process, an airing, a naming, a respect, and you know, you being interested in your partner's inner world, as I invite you to feel into what happened for you when your partner said, there's no way I'll ever do that. And you notice, you know, what tightens up in you and what it evokes from your childhood. These conversations are really rich and can help you get to a different place.
I hate to say this way, but as a guy, I'm having this moment of, ooh, that feels like the thing women are much better at than I as a man am. You know, that it just feels like all my be a man training doesn't include anything about like going inside and noticing what my body feels when I'm making this decision. So it feels like I'm at a disadvantage in this. You know, it feels like, wait, you just want me to act like a girl, you know?
So I'll give you some girl training if you're in therapy with me, and I'll help you to listen to yourself, and I will give you suggestions for what I imagine you might be feeling. So you can actually teach yourself to be more in touch with your responses to others and to your intuitions and to your, you sort of do this multitasking thing, listening to yourself, feeling into yourself, looking at the other person, catching what's going on for them, attuning. And so it's really just men haven't been trained. It's not that it's just girl stuff. So I think that it's a really beautiful thing for men to have a compassionate and a listening and a attunement with themselves, because that means you can operate from a very authentic place, and also you operate from a place of, oh, I'm taking care of myself. And if you're taking care of yourself and you're attuned with yourself, that gives me more space to attune to myself, and that we're having an authentic conversation and we're not expecting the other one to figure out the other one's stuff.
Yeah, well, I think there's a sort of a corollary truth to all that, which is that the effort that I as a man expend trying not to feel or blocking or actually has me feel vulnerable rather than invulnerable. I have this experience that I'm building this armor, you know, so I don't go there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that armor is pretty fragile. And then when that armor breaks apart, I don't really have very much tools. That there's more strength in not building that armor in the first place.
Right. And all of us are really impacted by the emotion of shame. And a lot of times we've gotten to a place where we can't feel it because it's so unbearable to feel shame. And so when we start to go, oh, that's shame that's making me withdraw, that's making me not want to feel, that's making me run into thinking, we can be with shame in a different way, and shame has less power.
Okay, so as long as we're in shame here for a moment, I've read up quite a bit about it, I've studied it, I've looked at it. So, you know, at the heart, it's that if you knew this about me, or if I had, or if you really saw this in me, I'd be thrown out of the tribe. I'd be shunned. I wouldn't be able to survive. That's a it's an extraordinarily powerful and powerfully motivating feeling. How does one learn to mediate it? How does one learn to let go of shames that we've carried, you know, about our sexuality or about our desires or about our thoughts that, you know, we may have carried for 20, 30, 40 years? How does one learn to stop being ashamed?
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back a little bit to that inner dialogue that I encourage people to have with themselves, which is this shame serving me right now? Is there something I need to be ashamed of? You know, am I transgressing? Am I doing something wrong? Or is this shame just an old feeling that is shutting me down for, you know, no relevant reason? So it's about the compassionate inner dialogue. It's about the mindfulness again. And so making friends with shame and helping and not letting shame run you, but not ignoring it either is an important balance and a very challenging balance for all of us adults, because shame is hardwired in us in a way that just makes us feel terrible, and a lot of times it paralyzes us.
Now, I notice in your literature, you talk about that it's not just your client that you're inviting to go to this mindful place. It's not just your client that you're inviting to be aware of their sensations and be aware of their body, but that you're at the same time going there. How do you keep from getting lost in all that? You know, how do you keep from getting lost in what's yours versus what's theirs?
Well, I'm sure there are times when I don't keep myself totally separate from projections and emotions and experiences that are going on with my client. There are times when I feel huge sadness and share that. And so being in mindfulness doesn't necessarily mean staying totally separate. I think that the healing process of psychotherapy, the healing process of being in a twosome, is a lot about having a shared experience. But if we have a shared experience that sort of talking about something that's external to us, whether it's compared with having an experience of both being deeply immersed in something, but me having the grounding of knowing that we are big enough to contain whatever the challenge is, that whatever the scary feelings are, whatever the sad feelings are, that it's you are not your overwhelming and scary feelings. You're much more. And sometimes I'll be a little scared by things that come up for people. But my experience over and over again is big feelings come and big feelings go. They don't stay and they aren't who the person is. And so we have a resource and a resilience in ourselves that I will keep in mind, and I will remind the person I'm working with to be able to access, so that we can do this safely, going into really intense areas and feeling into stuff that feels unbearable.
You know, is this just sort of a way you are all the time? I'm sort of having this moment listening to you, picturing your household. You know, I know you have two grown kids, and you know, I'm just sort of picturing sort of every time there's a moment of tension, everybody sort of stops, breathes a little bit, you know, says, well, right now my belly feels, well, right now my shoulders feel, I mean, you know, is that kind of what life looks like with you?
I wish. I wish that I lived constantly mindfully. But I do believe that the more I embody the things that I believe about healing and communication and connection and attachment, the more the better my world is, the more satisfaction and pleasure and joy and healing that I experience. And so, yeah, my goal is every moment to be having a mindful dialogue with myself and to not be in automatic limiting beliefs and to do things and pursue things that give me joy and give me further grounding. That sort of goes to the spiritual practice thing. I encourage my clients to find something that means a lot to them and to participate that, you know, and find balance so that their life is not all work, or that some of it is nurturing themselves with some kind of joyous spiritual undertaking.
Like what?
Oh, like yoga, like dance, like, you know, some people love to meditate. I'm not a serious meditator, but finding, being in that conversation with yourself in every moment, like, how am I doing? You know, is this what I, you know, sometimes we have to do things, and so how are you with what you have to do? And so if you're seized up and just gritting your teeth, you know, that may not be so good for you. But if you're breathing and you're saying, okay, well, I'm doing this thing right now, it's, you know, it's not very fun, but oh well, sometimes things aren't fun, but I love you, Karen. You know, it's okay that you're doing this, and let's kind of, it's a lot about being in this really sweet relationship with yourself, being loving, being attentive, and not dismissing bad feelings, not dismissing, you know, just being present with yourself.
I kind of wanted to stop that sentence at just being, because just being, yeah. We need to take a break, give a chance to support our sponsors and have our sponsors support us. Do come back, because Karen's got an exercise for you to try at home. You are listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
We're back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Karen Finch. She's a counseling psychologist with a specialization in somatic psychotherapy and the Hakomi method. I love just saying Hakomi method. I don't know what it means exactly, but I like it. Karen, if people wanted to get in touch with you, if they wanted to learn more about what you do or work with you or have questions, how can people get in touch with you?
I have a website. It's at www.turningleaftherapy.com, and I have my office phone is 510-334-7482. So you can contact me and learn more about me. But I also sometimes do special seminars and workshops to help people access some of these resources in themselves and live more heartfully and soulfully. The web address is www.turningleaftherapy.com.
And Turning Leaf Therapy is all one word, right? No periods or hyphens. Great. Terrific. Also, listeners, as I'm sure you know, if you just go to www.personallifemedia.com, our home for the Personal Life Media Network and our shows, you can find text and transcripts for this show and also links to get to Karen's website. So, and by the way, text and transcripts for all the Personal Life Media shows. While I'm on that subject, if you want to get in touch with me, the easiest way to reach me is chip@personallifemedia.com, all one word, personallifemedia.com. Love hearing from you, love hearing your comments, your ideas, and I have gotten several really good shows from listener advice. You know, hey, why don't you talk to this person? So if there's somebody you'd really like me to talk to, why, let me know, and who knows, maybe you'll hear that person on the show a month or two later. So if you prefer leaving phone messages rather than sending email, there is a voicemail system. You can leave a voicemail for Chip August by calling 206-350-5333. Please leave your name, please leave my show name, Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and your question or your comment. Please leave your phone number and or an email. And remember that when you leave a message, it indicates your agreement for Personal Life Media to use your message on air if it's, you know, if it's appropriate to use it as part of a promotion or to just do a show where we answer listeners' questions. So just know when you leave the message, you're telling us we have permission to do that. I always like to ask my guests to come up with an exercise, something people can do at home that might sort of emphasize some of the points you've made today or give them a taste of what it is that you do. And I know we talked about this on break, and so I know you have one, and I'd like you to do that now, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to invite you to... Not if you're in your car, but if you're someplace that you're able to either sit or lie down and close your eyes a minute, invite you to close your eyes and just feel your sensations. Just feel where your body's touching the furniture or the floor. And just sort of start to kind of pay attention to your body's movements. And you'll notice with your breath that your ribs are moving a little bit, and invite yourself to breathe in a full and easy way. And then I invite you to take a little inventory of what you notice in your body. And, you know, there's probably areas of tightness, areas of achiness, areas of ease, numbness, all sorts of a whole variety of feelings inside you. And just gently trying to develop names for what you notice inside, and maybe refining your language a little bit and noticing, oh, pulses and sparkles and streams and different types of ways that you are noticing. So you're really being present with yourself right now and feeling your body. And if you notice your mind wander off to other things or the meaning of what you're noticing, just gently invite yourself back to just feel what is in this moment. I invite you to find a place inside of you that feels safe, that feels content. And then create an image for yourself of home or safety. So it could be you create an image of nature, of what it's like to be on a warm beach, or what it's like to be in a fragrant forest. Or it could be you create a room for yourself with a fireplace and a really comfy chair. And then just notice how you're feeling as you access the imagery. And then as you stay with this imagery and these feelings that come from this imagery, let yourself ask yourself a question about something that's puzzling you or something that you need. And then let some kind of answer or response bubble up in yourself. Try not to think, try not to effort. Might be a word, might be a phrase. And then know that you have this place to visit and return to. And I invite you to come back to ordinary consciousness, but remember that you can take this journey inside and be with yourself in a maybe a new way and experience new grounding in yourself, new trust for yourself. Thank you for listening.
Well, that was wonderfully refreshing, wasn't it? Yeah. So, Karen, you've been a great guest. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk. I think there's a lot of really powerful things that you said today, and I just want to thank you for being here.
Thank you, too. It was really fun.
And I want to thank you, listeners, for listening in. I really appreciate your support. I guess that's it for now. So you've been listening to Chip August, Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and we'll... join us next time. That's it for now.
find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.